Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Sam Palcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Bill Takis. Sam, the Postal Service has been at the forefront of the so-called green movement even before it had a name. Would you give us a brief history of the Postal Service's sustainability journey since its inception till today as a sustainability leader? And more importantly, what are the overarching goals that frame your current efforts?
Sure, Michael. We've always been a leader in using alternative fuel-capable vehicles and recycling in those arenas. In fact, we had the first electric vehicle. We tested that back in 1895, believe it or not, in Buffalo, New York. And we've been testing electric vehicles for almost 100 years now. Today, we have the largest alternative fuel-capable vehicle fleet in the world. And about 40,000 of those are ethanol fuel capable as well. But I think what's important is because of our size and because we touch every community, it's essential and we have an obligation to embrace green ways of doing business. And it's our objective as an organization to ultimately become known as a world-class sustainability leader. And we also are very focused on continuing to adopt sustainable ways of improving and doing our business to create a long-term value for our customers, our employees, and all of the communities that we serve. Now, to our goals, we follow the federal mandates or several laws and executive orders that have defined goals for the federal sector, some that we voluntarily comply with. But for us, corporately, we have a goal of reducing our facility energy 30% by 2015, our petroleum fuel use 20% by 2015, also increasing our alternative fuel use 10% by 2015. And we recently, last year, set our own corporate goal of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions 20% by 2020.
Well, Sam, the Postal Service, my understanding is that the Postal Service was the very first government agency to report its greenhouse emissions and really the first to ever receive third-party verification of all the results. I had two questions for you around this. And first, would you mind outlining for us the greatest contributors to the carbon footprint within the postal industry, you know, and how that evolves from the Postal Service? And then second, would you mind telling us a little bit more about how the Postal Service developed this report and what methods it's using to assess the greenhouse gas emissions?
Yes, Bill. What we did was we did our first greenhouse gas assessment for the year 2007, and we worked with the California Climate Action Registry, which I'm sure you all know is a leader in greenhouse gas emissions reporting, and they assisted us with developing and publishing our first study and also helping us independently have a third-party certification of that study. Now, overall, our contract transportation, of course, represents our largest carbon emissions. That's about 52%. About another 36% comes from our facility emissions. And surprisingly, only 12% comes from our actual postal-owned vehicles. Now, our overall direct emissions totaled 5.3 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. But I'd like to put that in some perspective for you. That's basically 1/20th of 1% of the total greenhouse gas emissions in America. And if you use some of the EPA analysis, that's roughly equivalent to 1 million gasoline cars driving an average of 12,000 miles a year.
So going green may make good environmental sense. But how does going green and employing a formal sustainability program make good business sense and help reduce operational costs?
That's an excellent question, Michael. I mean, our sustainability projects are clearly making a positive impact on the environment, but they're also helping us as an organization save money. So by having goals to reduce our energy and fuel use, that helps us keep our cost under control, as well as helping us continue to provide our trusted service that Americans expect. Our mission is to provide universal service at affordable rates, so that helps us achieve that. And many of our green initiatives, we're focused on what we call no cost or low cost, but they impact the bottom line. So things like turning off the lights when they're not in use, turning off your computer monitors, adjusting the thermostats to required temperatures that we want in our particular facilities, all of those things help contribute to that.
Sam, could you tell us about any of your recycling programs? Are you expanding on those?
Absolutely. Actually, we have a slogan. We call it reduce, reuse, and recycle. And it's becoming much more than just a slogan to us within the Postal Service. It's actually becoming a way of us doing our business. One of the things we're very proud of, and we're continuing to grow this particular program, is we have secure lobby recycling in 8,000 post offices, and we're going to continue to grow that. And what that means is those of our customers that use a post office box, they're able to come into the lobby, take their mail out of the box, go to our counter, separate the mail, take the mail that they want to keep and act upon, and then place the mail that they want to dispose of securely and safely in a locked container in that lobby. And then we take that product and then we recycle it, and we actually make some money on that. We make about $10 to $11 million a year in lobby recycling and other recycling of mail that we collect within our organization. So last year, we recycled about 270,000 tons of paper, plastics, and other waste. That is a decrease in greenhouse gas emissions of approximately 1.67 million barrels of oil, for example, just to put it in some context. The other thing we're doing is we're growing our online transactions. If you go to our green website, USPS.com, we have a little calculator up in the right-hand corner that we call the Skip the Trip. And by using our online products and services, you can have your mail picked up. You can arrange for carrier pickup. We call it click and ship and other online services. Last year in 2009, that grew an additional 13%. And what that means is our customers now are making fewer trips to the post office, therefore reducing their greenhouse gases and their fuel use as well.
We understand that since 2003, the Postal Service has been very successful in reducing its overall building-related energy costs, I mean, almost up to 19% of reduction in consumption there. With that many facilities you talked about before, over 30,000 facilities, and one of the largest construction programs in the nation, could you tell us a little bit of how you achieved that reduction in your facilities and describe your efforts to build an operating performance and sustainable buildings that are life cycle cost effective?
Yeah. Well, it's two or three key initiatives. First and foremost, about 3+ years ago, our facilities group led by Tom Samra, who's our vice president, they set a plan in place to go out and do comprehensive energy audits of all of our largest facilities in our facility fleet. And then based on those energy audits, made determinations of what capital improvements they would invest in to improve the energy efficiency of each and every one of the single facilities. As a result, as you mentioned, Bill, we've achieved a 19% reduction in our overall building-related energy use. As I mentioned before, not only is that good for the environment in reducing our emissions, but it's also significantly affected the bottom line. That equates to about $150 million of avoided energy cost each and every year. And then in addition to that, we completely revised how we design and build new buildings so that they are more energy efficient. So it's required to have a sustainable building design, that they use energy efficient lighting and HVAC system, low water use fixtures. We use native plant, zero landscaping or Xerox landscaping at our facilities to ensure that we're helping the environment in every way. We're also continuing to explore other alternative forms of energy. So, we have already an array of solar photovoltaic systems. We also have geothermal HVAC systems. So where the price point and the return on the investment is appropriate, we continue to look for opportunities to improve in those particular areas.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about just a fascinating program that we learned about recently, and that's the Postal Service's successes in developing New York City's largest green roof. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about what greenery is on that roof and how you came to do it and what have been the results of that?
Yeah, this is just a great story. This is one of our facility's largest environmental projects to date. As you said, Bill, it's the largest green roof in Manhattan. It's nearly 2.5 acres. They started construction in September of 2008, and they completed it in July of last year. And I might say they completed it within budget, something we always like to do. Knew that would go. cause a little chuckle there. We also have a very cool time-lapse video if you're ever interested in looking at it. We call it the 1 year in 20 seconds. And if you go to our green website at USPS.com green, you'll be able to take a look at it there. But more importantly, the facts are that 90% of the former roof was recycled and reused in the current roof. The roof itself, we expect it to last about 50 years. That's almost twice the lifespan of a normal roof of a building of that type. It's also, once again, causing energy reduction and cost, so and also reducing our cost. We're projecting that it's going to reduce our heating and cooling costs because of its great insulative factors, about $30,000 a year. And also, it has a great environmental effect. It reduces the water runoff into the New York City municipal water system, 75% reduction in the summer and 40% reduction in the winter. It's also what we like and is that it's created this wonderful environment. Our employees are allowed to go up there on their breaks and their lunch period. We have 14 benches made of Brazilian ipy wood that is certified sustainable by the Forest Stewardship Council. And the other thing that I think is a fact that's critically important is that 59% of the green roof surface is vegetation and plants that are native to the Northeast area.
Sam, I just had a follow-up real quick on that. I was wondering, could you give us sort of an insight on how that roof was chosen? What were the decisions that went into making this happen? But more importantly, are there plans to do it anywhere else?
There are some very key factors. One of the reasons that roof was chosen was because of the structure of that facility. When it was built of iron steel girders, and it was able to support the weight that goes along with those types of green roofs. So that's one of the primary reasons. And also that, you know, where its location, where it was, et cetera. So, yes, and our people are looking at, our facilities group is looking at where we might have some additional green roofs. But as I mentioned, one of the key factors is what was the construction. Will it support that particular type of weight? There's some other factors that they take into consideration as well.
With nearly 217,000 vehicles that are an average of 18 years old, the Postal Service has focused much of its efforts on reducing fuel consumption while identifying efficient transportation options. But would you tell us about your efforts in this area? How are you expanding the use of alternative fuel vehicles, leveraging low-energy mail delivery methods like Fleet of Feet? And a little bit about your research and development in these areas, because I understand you folks are actually a leader in research and development.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another part of our story is the great job that our engineering group does in that particular area. They actually have a vehicle lab that they study these types of vehicles. But let me put it in context first. We have a very large fleet. We have about 210,000 vehicles that are out there on the road each and every business day. You see the ubiquitous postal truck in your neighborhood each and every day. And as I already said, about 44,000 of them are alternative fuel-capable vehicles. We're very focused, as I mentioned, on increasing the use of our alternative fuel. So we're testing every type of vehicle there is, natural gas, CNG, hydrogen fuel cell, et cetera. In fact, we're even testing some unique three-wheel vehicles that are called T3s. We've even built a little trailer for the carrier to haul his or her mail for their particular routes. We're testing them in California, Arizona, and Florida. They cost about 2 cents a mile to recharge and to operate, and they have a range of about 40 miles. And they've been a wonderful media story because they're so unique that everybody that seems to see them likes to hear the story about them. The other thing that we're testing is a hydrogen fuel cell. We've been in a partnership. We're now testing two fourth-generation hydrogen fuel cell Chevrolet Equinox vehicles. That's a partnership that we have with General Motors. And the funding is coming from, as another partner, the U.S. Department of Energy. We've had one that delivers mail every day, every single day, and has done so since 2006. And we now have a second fuel cell vehicle here in the Washington area that came here late last fall. The other thing that we're doing is our engineering group just announced a contract to take that postal vehicle that you see every day and convert that to electric. Five companies have bid on that particular project. Each one is going to create an electric motor platform and battery platform. We should have those vehicles sometime later this summer. for us to go out and test. And as you mentioned, Michael, we're very proud of the fact that we also deliver a lot of mail without the use of petroleum fuel vehicles. We have bicycle routes in several states. Arizona and Florida are examples. They save, just those bicycles alone, save about 15,000 gallons of gasoline a year. But we also have a large walking fleet. They use no gasoline vehicles to deliver whatsoever. Their mail is relayed and put in boxes for them. But we have 9,000 routes where they actually walk the entire route. And 80,000 of our routes are what we call park and loop routes. They drive into your neighborhood. This is probably what you see in your residential neighborhood. They park the vehicle, and then they get out and they walk a loop around the neighborhood and around the cul-de-sacs, go back to the vehicle, move it to another park point, get out and walk again. So that, you know, significant amount of reduction in potential greenhouse gas emissions by the nature of those types of route setups.
How do sustainability programs improve operations? We will ask Sam Polcrano, Vice President of Sustainability within the U.S. Postal Service, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.